Hello, my children. Welcome to the jungles of recovery 101 radio, where we have our elder tribesmen, the Bruce, Shelley, and the Mark, learning us about the fellowships of all the A's. Most importantly, their favorites, the insanities. So join us, children, on this journey of recovery.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 doesn't speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAMOUSE.
Or any of the Anons?
No.
None of them?
None of them, they're guys.
Ever?
No. Best we not speak for the Anons, because they'll be pissed. Well, I didn't say
Protestants
PA
Anonymous?
Because I have a tendency to see PA twice.
And HA.
And HA twice. So, you know. Ha ha.
He just starts spouting the alphabet off randomly.
So we're eating cookies. Pretty damn good cookies. Shelley would tell you how good they are, except she's got a mouthful of cookie. We also don't have a microphone in your hand, which makes it difficult to talk.
I had great cookies.
You what?
I had great cookies.
Yeah, no, they were good cookies.
I had your mom's cookies.
Oh, yeah, my mom makes some bombastic cookies.
No, those are gone.
My mom makes...
Because I ate all of them.
My mom makes Scottish shortbread from, like, great-grandma's Scottish recipe, and they are...
Best on the planet.
Better than any other ones I've ever had, including her sisters that make them. Because my mom is just anally retentive at the way she does it. If there's anything, if the cookies aren't white, if there's even the slightest hint of desert sand color on them, she's like, they're burnt. I'm like, well, all the ones that you say are burnt, you just package those up and send them over to me.
We'll take them.
Because they're still good. Three ingredients, butter, flour, and sugar.
Yeah, but that's how you put them together.
They take an hour to bake.
How you put them together.
Who makes cookies that take an hour to bake?
Your mother.
I mean, my mother, yeah.
And they're great. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, my mom listens to the show, too, sometimes. So. Thanks, Mom.
Bruce held up a bag with the cookies in it and said, do you want some cookies?
Actually,
I said, do you want a cookie? And he just polished off the rest of the bag, but it's
did
okay.
Did you really? I thought you said, do you want some cookies? And you threw me the cookies.
No, I gave you the
cookies. Because I brought a bag of cookies for everybody else.
Yes, you did. So you had a bag of cookies.
That's right.
And you know what? I tell my mom all the time, if you could package that up and sell them, you'd make a mint.
Bruce,
those are so much better than any other shortbread I've ever had. It's
I answered you like I used to answer my dealer when I'd walk in the door and he'd go, you want a line? Yes.
Yeah. You want a line?
This happened the same way. You threw me it. I took all of it.
I used to have a friend that would say that, you know, do you want a line? And I would always like look behind me like, because you don't have to ask me if I want
just
one. You know, you
just
must be
draw
talking,
it, pal.
You must be talking to someone else.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Patrick's about to have
breathe.
A heart attack over there.
We're losing Patrick.
Breathe. Wow. Take a breath. Because if you keep laughing like you're going to start farting, and then I'm going to have to ban you from the property.
No, we could get him one of those charcoal things.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be minty fresh. Mark, quick,
yes.
Where's the certs, lifesavers?
That's right. We'll just shove a roll of lifesavers up your ass.
Oh, my goodness. You know what that means.
Yeah, it means you might want to introduce the show.
Oh. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name's Bruce, as always with...
Shelley B.
And Mark M.
Sweet.
Dude.
I was waiting for you to not do that just so I could get you.
Ooh, you got me.
Well, we got into it so fast, it was...
Yeah, well, you know, we were a rocket sled of recovery.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Because at the point in our lives, sugar is the biggest rush we get.
Well, you know, after here, we're going to go have coffee, and we're going to get all tanked up on espresso, be unable to sleep.
Just like back in the day.
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
I would figure right now you guys would know which direction to step to get around each other.
You would think.
You both stand up and do that left-right thing, like...
Shall we dance? Dun, dun,
dun. Like you open the door for Giselle or something, you know which direction to move to stay in front of her.
Okey dokey.
Open the door. Oh. You almost had me singing some Journey there for a second.
No. Hold on.
It's a great song.
Okay,
you
we've got...
that song? Oh, it's a good song.
We've got shout-outs to Stryker, Carol, Randy, John K., Bill, Georgette, Natalie, Dakota, James, Jack, Kim L., Scott, Sezu, Phil K., and Brian.
Sezu. I like that name.
Says who?
Says me.
Okay.
Sezu.
What you got?
This happened in Rosemont. This was in the... It's in the Midwest. I don't remember which state it was.
All the same.
This is the Midwest Fur Fest Convention. Several thousand people.
They need a razor.
Most of them dressed in their furry costumes.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Were evacuated from the Hyatt Hotel because someone set off an intentional chlorine gas leak at the hotel.
Why?
19 people ended up in the hospital, and meanwhile, all of the people in their furries.
To send the furries running into the street.
Yeah, they were out in the street in their little costumes in the middle of winter. A noxious odor began spreading through the hotel in the duct system. Someone had dumped a bunch of powdered chlorine in the vent, basically, and it aerosolized and created a, it was a chlorine gas type
of situation.
But
situation.
It's, yeah.
Was there someone trying to rip the place off or something?
Maybe they were just trying to get it really clean. I don't know.
How do you get rid of your furry?
Well, are you familiar with the whole furry thing?
Yeah.
These people are all having sex in costume.
Yeah.
Well, we had furries at our CA convention that one year.
Yeah.
Well, and
I mean, not with us, but there was a furry
that was
convention.
More anime.
Yeah, that was cosplay stuff.
Well, I saw some people dressed up like animals.
Convention. That was the weirdest thing ever. You had people dressed like fucking Pikachu.
Anime.
And then a
and
bunch
clowns.
Of dope fiends. And then there was a teacher's convention,
and
too.
And the clowns.
And the clown convention.
Oh, and the clown convention.
Which was the disturbing part, strangely enough.
You know when you got a bunch of addicts and alcoholics around and the disturbing part is the clown convention?
Yeah.
Wow.
What I love is the next day after they've cleared all the chlorine out of the hotel and they ran the ducting system and stuff, and the next morning the head of the Midwest Fur Fest convention said, and I quote, "As we wake up today, we want to continue to provide the best possible convention that we can, despite the trying circumstances. We ask you to be patient and remember that the volunteers who make the Midwest Fur Fest happen give 110% to make sure that the fun, friendship, and good times overshadow last night's unfortunate incident."
So what they're saying is they're man's best friend?
I can imagine this guy in his little, you know, weevil suit or whatever, giving this speech with a straight face. I couldn't
do
it.
He's like in a panda outfit or something.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
We're there for the fur.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's see here. Oh, this story is out of the UK. Yes. Let's see. What's the guy's? Where is the guy's name? Oh, Roy Redham, homeowner, and member of the UK Neighborhood Trust. A guy named Anthony Hall decided he was going to break into the guy's house in the middle of the night and try to steal some electronics. He was asleep in bed. He hears a disturbance downstairs, goes downstairs, sees the guy lifting his TV. He got in his face a little. What he literally did was he pinned him to the floor. He wasn't going anywhere.
Was he in a furry costume?
No. Oh. Now, the guy that he decided he was going to try and rob was a flanker for the Red Car Rugby Union Club.
Those are tough guys.
Yeah. Rugby guys are tough.
You really don't want to try and rob a rugby player.
or a mixed martial artist.
What I love is because he pinned him to the floor, and then he said, and I'm quoting him here, he said, he took the chance to kick me in the face, and that's the point when he annoyed me. I thought, right, son, you're getting a whacking.
You're getting a right whacking.
You're getting a whacking.
And in the kid's mugshot, you know, when the cops got there, they arrested him for breaking and entering. His mugshot, his face is just all, he's got blood all over his face. Yeah. He's got cuts and swollen lip and a swollen eye. They did transport him to the hospital. But the judge, said, crack me up. He said, and I'm quoting the judge here, an Englishman's home is his castle, and he made a big mistake. He said that he might have, Mr. Waterfield may have inflicted more injuries than he received, but most people would say, thank goodness he was not more seriously hurt. Basically, he told the guy, you got what you deserve, because they tried to countersue. In England, up until recently, if you were the homeowner, you did not have the right to use extraordinary measures to defend yourself or your property. Now you do. They passed a new law.
Kind of like stand your ground?
Yeah, kind of.
They should let him have guns.
Okay. I don't know that
now
that's
going to
happen.
Going to jail where he's going to get broken entered.
Yeah.
Next story. This one ticked me off. I think Bill sent this one in. It's out of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And it's appropriate that we do it today. Because, you know, today is Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah.
Not by the time this goes up.
Right. But while we're doing it, it is Pearl
Harbor. Now you all know what day. Well, now some of you know what day we recorded.
Yeah. the USS Arizona Memorial.
Yep.
Which is one of the premier tourist attractions in the U.S.
Still leaking oil.
Apparently is not in very good shape. And the park system has not taken very good care. Has not been a good steward with it. And one department is investigating them for corruption because it's a state park.
Yeah.
It's a monument at a state park.
But it's all underwater. What are they supposed to do to take care of it?
The
memorial is above water.
Yeah.
You look down.
The battleship is below water.
Yeah. And it's kind of, it's a sacred place. I mean, there's 1,000 people buried under there.
Yeah.
They're unfortunate. Yeah, and they're all servicemen. And the thing, things like some of the exhibits being held up with duct tape on the walls.
What?
Bird droppings, piles of them not being cleaned up outside, you know, in the outside areas of the memorial. Exhibits that are missing, like the scale model of the USS Arizona that hasn't been there for over a year. There's just a sign that says exhibit unavailable.
You think they'd take better care of that?
Yeah, and
don't we have a president that's from that state?
Do we?
Supposedly.
Wow, I think I'm almost setting your jacket on fire here, Bruce. Anyway, the thing that really ticked me off, though, is because it's a state park, we pay for it with our taxpayer dollars.
Right.
And somebody within the management of the USS Memorial is allowing tourist companies to sell tickets. Tickets are free. You call in the morning, you say, I need X number of tickets, and you go and you pick them up. Somebody's getting a kickback from these tourist companies that are charging anywhere from, you know, $25 to $45 per person to go and see something at a national park that's free.
I tell you, you fix that problem right now. Let the Navy run it.
Well,
you let the Navy run it, and there won't be any more problems.
If I'm picking you up at your hotel, and I'm taking you around to see certain things like the Pearl Harbor Memorial, or things like that, I don't have a right to charge you to do that?
Oh, no. That's not what they're charging for. You know, when you call to get your ticket because they only allow a certain number of people to go through the memorial every day.
Right.
You call to get your ticket, the tourist companies are getting blocks of the actual ticket. So on top of whatever the tourist company is charging to take you around for the day, you have to also pay on top of that for a ticket that's free.
So they're scalping them.
Basically.
Exactly.
And the parks and the management of
that's
the park.
Smart. Listen to the dope fiend over there. That's smart.
No, it's not. And it's an offensive to me as
a
taxpayer.
It's smart. It doesn't make it not non-offensive.
This needs to be fixed, people.
Patrick and I are going to be doing that. You know, we have a new national monument locally. I'm going to start scalping tickets to that.
We do?
You're going to scalp tickets to what? The housing complex that's in the middle of it? I mean, what the heck is this monument of?
Oh, I didn't say it was an actual reason to have a monument. I'm just saying we have one.
It's not a monument. It's a hill.
We have a hill?
There's nothing on it.
Well, you're familiar with this, right, Mark?
What?
The San Gabriel Mountains National Monument?
No.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
because
my God.
The day
the president
was
came
here.
Out here was at Pudding Stone and declared the San Gabriel Mountains right here a
national
monument. Now, we've been trying to figure out for a long
time
what the national monument is, because usually the monument is an item inside a national park that you go and look at.
Wasn't
like,
this what allowed them to
like
stop people from being able to drive
something.
There for nothing?
Right. Now we got to pay to go and see nothing. Nothing there.
We get the government we deserve.
I didn't vote for this. Don't look at me.
We get the government we deserve.
I got to tell you, I would pay to go see the Arizona.
Would you pay to go see the San Gabriel Mountains?
No.
No.
There's nothing to see.
Go to the front yard. You can see them.
I've lived there my entire life.
That'll be $7.20, Shelley.
Pay up, Mark.
You look from your front yard every day? You owe back pay.
There is nothing up there to go. There's no monument. I could see making it a national park. It was already, what'd they call it? Los
it's
Angeles
state
County
West, yeah.
Park or whatever.
Los
Angeles National
it's
Forest.
Angeles National Forest.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what the monument is. I'm still trying to figure it out.
All right, well, moving on.
The bridge to nowhere, maybe.
Yeah. We're moving on up.
Yeah, well, that's moving a loading spot. Of course
to
you've been
east
there.
Side.
Well, we are going east. We're
to
going
to deluxe apartment in the sky.
We're going to Hayden, Idaho.
Are we?
Hayden.
Yes.
Why?
Idaho. This is one of those dumb criminal moments.
Wait. Did you say we were going east?
Yes.
Not very far east.
More like northeast.
Yeah, like way north and a tiny bit east.
To Idaho.
Actually, where we are, we're probably straight under the Idaho-Oregon border. Sorry, Shelley.
Okay. Anyway. Now I've forgotten where I was. We're in Hayden, Idaho.
We're in the Idaho.
You're going
story.
To Idaho. You're obviously lost because you're going east.
Yes, a bomb threat. was called into the Atlas Elementary School in Hayden, and so immediately the school is evacuated. The students and staff are all they all flee. They were taken to a local health district office, while law enforcement came and SWAT team
looked
or whatever came
bomb.
And looked for the bomb. They didn't really get very far with it because the person who took the bomb threat call called it off when they realized that the criminal who called in the bomb threat forgot to turn off their caller ID. So so they just looked at the number. Oh, I know where that is. And, backtrack, got the address. It turned out to be a guy that they were going to pick up anyway later in the day because he had a failure to appear and he was a wanted fugitive.
Wow.
So he just and he called in the bomb threat because he thought that if he got all the cops to go to one place, then he could get away.
Sneak out the back door.
Yes. But turning off your caller ID might have been a little helpful there.
I doubt that actually realistically even works.
What?
I mean, it won't show up on the as the caller ID, but
it would show up as
blocked
call.
It's not difficult to find. Yeah, the phone company knows where you called from no matter what.
I know, but he just made it that much easier.
Yes, he did.
Okay, here's a...
Where
did I
happen to call those in from a payphone?
There's no payphones anymore.
My daughter one time said she didn't call me to tell she was going to be late. And I said, why didn't... She goes, why didn't I have my cell phone? I said, why didn't you call me from a payphone? And she looked at me and she goes, what's that? And I said... And I had to think about it. And I said,
that's why you always
it's the thing that's down near Starbucks. And she goes, oh, that? She goes, you can put money in that and make a call? I'm like, yeah.
She didn't know that was a phone.
That's what she always carried a dime around for.
Yeah, we used to put
dime
them in our penny loafers.
No.
Yeah, it's 50 cents to make a call now.
50 cents?
If you can find one.
50 cent?
50 cent.
50 cent.
You know what? There's a couple of really cute phone booths at the Laverne at Brackett Airport. Huh? They've got the old-fashioned ones with the wooden collapsing door and the whole bit. They're really cute. People, I've actually seen people go and like just go there just to take a picture of themselves in the phone booth. Okay.
Maxwell Smart.
This one happened.
Agent 86.
Missed it by that much.
This story is in. Lakewood, Washington. We're going to Lakewood, Washington. Everybody shut up.
Lakewood or Lakewood?
Is this east, Shelley, or is it north?
This is north.
So we're just making a little left when we get to Idaho.
Actually, this might actually be a little bit northwest.
From Idaho, for sure.
Well, from here.
From here, probably, yes.
Okay.
Anyway, the couple that are in the story that had this happen to them, their name is not released in the story.
But you know what it is, don't you?
Actually, no. And actually, the perpetrator's name is not in there either. At any rate,
so
a Lakewood couple went away for a weekend. They came home to their apartment, and they found a recliner, a TV stand, some other furniture that did not belong to them in their home, as well as a plethora of empty beer bottles and pizza boxes.
Nice.
Now, what was missing...
And $70 worth of porn had been ordered on the TV.
Well, no, the TV was missing.
Oh.
The other things that were missing were their love seat, their matching chair and ottoman, a cushion for their papasan chair, king-size mattress from the bedroom, a carpet cleaning machine, pots, pans, dishes, food, and his military-issued equipment.
Wow.
Now, in order to find whoever did this switcheroo, you know, hey, I'll bring my furniture over here and take yours kind of thing, it wasn't very difficult because one of the perpetrators managed to leave behind his traffic ticket that had his name and address on it, which was the guy next door.
Oh.
Wow.
So the police go over and they talk to the guy. That he opens the door and all their furniture's in his apartment. And he said...
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
He said that he and some friends had gotten drunk and that he had heard from somebody else that they were moving out and they were going to abandon all their stuff. So they thought it, in their drunken haze, thought it would be a good idea to just go and take it.
Ah, the open house garage sale.
Yeah. I bet that didn't work.
How'd this work out?
The doors, everything was locked. They got in through the ventilation ducting between their two apartments and then went inside, opened the door, and took all the stuff out.
So they just returned it all?
Well, they've been arrested.
No harm, no foul?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's just a prank.
It's just a prank. They got arrested because for, you know, breaking and entering, theft, all that stuff. Because it actually wasn't the first time that this guy's gotten in trouble for this.
Oh.
Well, actually, it wasn't his. He didn't get in trouble. His brother, who was staying there with him once, used that same ducting to get into the next tenant's apartment to steal stuff, steal jewelry and stuff, with a different tenant.
Wow.
I think somebody needs
to make
this guy
move. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Somebody needs to make this guy move.
Well, first off, somebody's got to teach him how to be a better criminal because he keeps getting caught.
Yeah, that's
true. Shelley, here's two trivia questions for you real quick.
What?
One, what is the easternmost state?
And we'll give you a hint. It's not Idaho.
Florida or Maine? I don't know.
It's Maine.
Is it Maine? Is it?
And actually, I asked the wrong question anyway.
Oh, but it is Maine.
What's the westernmost state?
Hawaii.
It's not.
Alaska.
It's Alaska.
Okay, whatevs.
What's the southernmost state?
Mexico.
I don't know, but I can get you a ticket to go there.
Come on, Shelley. What's the southernmost state?
Hawaii.
It is. By a long shot.
Okay, can we move on to the next story,
Absolutely.
Please? Absolutely. Jeez. Okay, this falls in the category of how did I possibly miss this when I was out there getting loaded? Because it hadn't been invented yet. That's why.
What'd I miss?
For any of, we do have some people that
ice
listen
beer?
To the show that are normies.
I don't think it counts if we never got a chance to use
ice
it.
Beer.
Okay.
Never had one.
There, we do have some normies that listen to the show. They may want to look up, you know, on the internet. And
or
look
young
it
people
up.
Who want to go back out again.
It's called the Arkeg.
Arkeg?
Yes. Instead of arcade or keg, it's an Arkeg. It's an old school style video game console that has a keg built in.
What's a kegerator?
It's a kegerator. It comes preloaded with
beer,
PBR.
Like dozens of, you know, classic games like Galaga and Asteroids and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
It's an old fashioned, you know, like a console game.
And a keg of Brew 102. It's old school, baby.
It supports a 5-gallon keg, and it has gadgets or whatever. If you are a home brewer, it supports your fermentation process. Yes.
Brew 102 used to be right next to the Los Angeles River.
And it has nifty drink holders on the console.
It's the water.
Oh, God.
We had a lot more.
You would never have to leave the house.
We have actually a really big brewery not far from where we're at, the Miller Brewery.
Yep.
And all their storage things are painted like big cans of beer.
That was inventive.
They almost put the Raiders right across the street from it.
They may still again.
This story, you know, strangely enough, you just watched Airplane the other day, right?
I watched a goodly portion of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yesterday.
Do you ever have to?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yesterday, we had a scene right out of Airplane actually happen.
Surely you must be joking.
Don't
call me Shirley.
The autopilot deflated.
Do you have to blow the autopilot back up?
Right at the belt line, you will find a tube that you need to blow into.
Apparently, most of the people on this flight did not have the lasagna. U.S. Airways plane, they had to make an emergency landing. They were on their way from Tel Aviv to Philadelphia in the U.S. They had to make an emergency landing in Rome because 13 passengers and two crew members started suddenly vomiting simultaneously.
Did they have the fish?
They say that there was something in the duct system of the plane that may have made them ill.
Really?
Hey, Jimmy, do you like gladiator movies? Have you ever seen a grown man naked? Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Okie dokie.
Some movies could never be watched too many times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I saw it, and it's like, I got to watch it.
You have to. It's like a train.
I love it. Every time it shows the jet, you hear propellers.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to do this last one. We're way over time.
Unloading the passengers only.
We are
That's not true.
We are way over time, mostly
because of us.
Yes, but I got to do this one. This is out of the UK again. Liquor store owner, Aftab Haider, 56 years old. His store was robbed by a guy that came into his store, hypnotized him, and then literally stole the stuff out of his pockets, out of the register, while the guy is standing there in a hypnotized trance, in a hypnotic trance.
That's what I claimed to my insurance.
If you hypnotize somebody and you hypnotize them and have them give you the stuff, can you be arrested for anything?
So a lot of people believe hypnotism doesn't even exist.
And he gave it to me.
Well, here's the thing. They have video of it because the store has a CCTV camera. And you can clearly see on the video. First, he's talking to the guy. The guy comes up and like, oh, hi, and like pats him on the arm. And then he does this thing with his hands and he's staring into the guy's eyes. Next thing you know, the guy's standing there and he's like in a stupor. The thief went through the pockets of his jacket and he didn't even move.
Yeah. When I start a
sentence
with, when I start a sentence with, can I have, you nod your head up and down. Can I have this?
But he didn't even move. I mean, he would just now looking for this guy.
I'm trying to help the guy.
Guy could help me.
Yeah.
Would you like to buy this bed? Just nod yes.
Can I take your credit card out of your wallet? Just nod yes.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out.
to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
It's selfwillhappens.something.
Com.
Okay, com. Yeah.
.com.
Somebody's going to have to call an ambulance for Patrick.
Yeah.
We're back, but he's still over there.
I clicked on the New Way Foundation link the other day, and it went to their site.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, good. Selfwillhappens.com. Well,
not selfwillhappens.com, the New Way Foundation.
Yeah. Well, good.
Not Sober College.
Well, good. Yeah. They must have fixed that.
Must have fixed it.
So we have a topic, shall we?
How did we get this topic?
One of the Peanut Gallery people, Wendy, proposed this topic in the form of a question. Well, and you know, if Wendy's here.
Wendy's mom has got it going on.
We have to do that because Wendy's here. The topic was, there's a lot of people, young people in the meetings these days.
There is.
Yes, there are.
She's one of them.
Yes, she's one of them. But she's doing really well. They come, you know, bouncing in after being all wild. And how do you really know whether this was just your wild child stage of your growing up or if you're actually an addict or an alcoholic? Because a lot of them get tossed into recovery at a very young age, sometimes not by themselves. So how do you determine that?
You may remember
we did this topic once, about a year ago.
But it was a long time ago.
About a year and a half ago, probably.
Like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we were talking about people that get – I think it came up because some kid had got thrown into recovery for drinking too much Diet Coke or something like
Experimentation
that.
Experimentation versus addiction.
But it's good. It's a good thing to bring up again.
Yeah.
So –
And Wendy brought it up, so.
I know.
And well, what we had talked about before, for those that haven't heard that show, we had said, what about the people that get thrown into recovery that maybe shouldn't be in there? You know, the kid gets caught smoking weed by his parents a couple times. They throw him into the Las Encinas Hospital. You know, my daughter was the same way. My daughter had smoked weed. Her mom was ready to throw her into a recovery home and have them go to meetings. And they were going to make them go to meetings. And I'm like...
Yeah, both of us were like, what?
They don't even smoke that much weed, you know? It's like...
It was not affecting their lives to that extent. Yeah. You know?
Please, let's let our first reaction be over.
Yes. Yes. Now, how often do you see that in program, Mark?
Every meeting.
Every meeting.
I mean, there. We didn't show up in life as addicts on day one.
No.
I carefully cultivated and developed mine.
Yes.
So. But.
How old were you when you knew that something might be amiss?
25. I walked into a meeting.
Shelly, how
old
were
you? I didn't know anything was wrong before that. I just, other than.
Shelly, how old were you when you thought something was amiss?
19. And I knew there was. I just didn't want to do anything about it. I grew up in the program, though. I knew.
Yeah, see, I knew nothing about it.
I knew
the
signs.
I went to my first meeting when I was 20. And had thought that I should probably quit getting loaded
before then. And you don't have 32 years of sobriety.
Huh?
And you don't have 32 years of sobriety.
No. No.
Not continuous anyway. You have 32 years of non-continuous sobriety.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem.
Nah,
I'd be an old freaking timer right now.
Yeah.
No, but you know
what?
You can
take a 32-year chip if you break some of it off.
Here's where...
Wouldn't that be cool to crack them into pieces? Crack it into pieces? Yeah. I have 32 years of non-continuous sobriety.
Here's where my thought process goes with this. I don't think it has anything to do with the parents and the people, you know, because parents do what parents do. They want to throw people in recovery and this and that. The thing is, when it was me, I knew something was up. I knew it. I knew it in my heart. I didn't quite know what to do about it because I knew it even before I hit 20. Yeah. But I didn't know what to do about it. I mean, I wasn't really familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous at all. And even when I was familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought I was a drug addict.
But you thought you might have a problem.
Well, I was pretty sure something was going on.
What about people who end up in the program that are darn sure they don't have a problem?
Well, there's a lot of those.
Here, I'll sign your card and see you next week. When you get six, have a nice life.
I had a guy come into a meeting one time This guy walked in, full-blown, full battle-dressed biker. Walked in. He looked like one of us.
An N.A. one of us.
And we were talking at the break, and he said, and I asked him, you know, kind of was just kind of talking a little bit, and said, you know, what got you here? He said, well, I have to come to seven
he
more
says,
of
my
these.
Harley.
He says, I have to come to seven more of these.
And couldn't then stay out of sight of the black
and
white.
And then I'm done. I said, really? I said, because he had a court card. I said, what happened? He said, I was at a party, and I had my red solo cup with my one beer for the week that I drink, and I happened to walk past the gate onto the sidewalk.
Drunk in public.
And there was a cop there who wrote me up for it, and the judge gave me 12 meetings to go to avoid a sentence. He goes, I have a beer a week, and I just happen to walk onto the sidewalk out in front of the guy's house where the Rose Parade was going on.
Oops.
Yeah. What's this guy doing in the rooms?
Overreaction.
Well, and I think that's the thing. It's the difference between overreaction and proper reaction.
Yeah.
Because when I first went to a meeting, I wasn't overreacting to anything. It's like I figured out something was up. I wasn't, to be honest with you, I wasn't sure exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to AA, I was like, you know, I heard a couple of guys speak, and, you know, when they were talking about what it used to be like, they're talking about drinking two-fifths a day. I'm like, shit, I never drank two-fifths a day. I'm clearly not one of these guys. It wasn't until I went to a Cocaine Anonymous meeting where I was like, uh-oh. I identify with everybody in here.
Yeah.
We got two more peanuts.
Hey, guys.
Bree and Nathan just showed up.
Hello.
Sweet. So what do you think, Shelley?
Well, I knew within my first week of college, I was 19, so it was a few weeks after I started college. And I had gone to a party and partied. And I got up the next morning, and I didn't have a hangover, and I had consumed a lot of alcohol, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you are a goddamn alcoholic. And I knew I was.
Bam.
Because the problem was at that point, I didn't have a problem yet, but it was like watching a train come. I knew the train was coming.
Coming down the track.
Yeah. And I just didn't want to do anything. I knew what to do. I knew where to go. But I'd partied for a few weeks at that point. I was like, no, I know what's going to happen. I know how the play ends, but I'm not going to do anything about it yet. So, I mean, I knew I was. But then, you know, we have when you're talking about what is this person doing in the rooms, I had a sponsee at one point, 20 years old, 21. 21. She went to a Christian university.
A local one.
Yeah, a local one. She, real nice gal, cute little thing, great singer. She had gone to maybe four or five parties, and because she went to a Christian university, when she got caught drunk in the dorm, they decided that she was an alcoholic. And because she had relatives that had been alcoholics and one that had been in the program, she said, well, I must be then, because they said I was. So she starts going to meetings and stuff, and she did, you know, admittedly, this is the one who got 90 days and then showed up drunk in the parking lot at the club and said, I've got 90 days, and tried to take her clothes off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I missed that. I've heard about that.
Yeah,
But the whole time that I'm working with her, and she's clicking through the steps and stuff, and I'm thinking, there's something off here, because she doesn't read like an alcoholic. You know.
Boy, I read her like an alcoholic.
I don't.
Mostly
I never.
When she was trying to tear off her clothes in the parking lot.
That was, you know what? And I saw her like a couple years later at the grocery store. She never drank again after that.
Well, maybe she's
Did
like.
Did she tear her clothes off anymore after that?
No, I mean that was like her last hurrah or whatever. She was like, it was almost. I felt like when I was working with her that she was trying to convince herself that she was an alcoholic because somebody else said she was.
Yeah.
You know, she decided. You know, I actually kind of. She lived her life. Basically, the way we try to once we've gone through the program, right. Like a normal person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I saw her at the grocery store a couple years ago, you know, she'd gotten a job, gotten married, was pregnant. They bought a house. She had a regular, she had a life. Yeah.
So I'm how many currently people? Saving a seat for her.
So how yeah, many people do you see come in that it looks pretty obvious that they have been experimenting with certain drugs? Not necessarily an addict or alcoholic.
Some of the young ones.
A lot of the young ones?
Yeah. They're just in party stage.
Yeah. And the new black is
recovering.
You know, well, see, the thing is for me, though, I don't see that much.
Really?
Because
you're at the same meetings.
I go to a lot of meetings that are at a recovery hospital, and most of the people, once they get in there...
Not even them.
I don't know.
Well, that's not true, not necessarily. And plus, it says in the, you know, the big book, which is what I go through, that, you know, you see a lot of young people that start out, you know, party, 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 that may be potential alcoholics, but just try to get them to see it, you know, because they're in party mode.
Well,
and they
may
be.
You know, just like one thing I don't subscribe to, and that's just me, is the whole planting the seed theory.
See, I subscribe to that.
I know you do. I know you
do. I
do. I don't.
I do, too.
I got the seed planted by AA.
Until that seed has grown into its full poppy, has been processed and slammed back into their arm.
Jeez.
See, you know what, though? It's like, why did Shelley know where to go? Because when her dad was in the program, the seed got planted then.
Yeah.
And she knew where to go.
Right.
Well, plus she lives with you. I drink, too.
Well, clearly, that was the reason why I started drinking again.
Yeah. Nathan, what do you want?
Nathan's looking
Nathan
for a plug.
Nathan wants a plug. Oh, right there. No, is that plugged in? Yes, it is, right there.
There you go.
Actually, it is Bruce's fault because we got in an argument, and that's why
you.
I drank.
That is not why you drink. I hadn't even met you when you started drinking.
So,
well, how about the flip of the coin? How about the people like, I see this happen more about weed than anything else. I sponsored a guy for a while, kind of sort of half-heartedly still do in a weird way. But he, well, because he doesn't do anything.
Is somebody just a little bit pregnant?
But he'll call me like, you know, hey, I need help with this or I need help with that. The thing is, and we know it, and one who Shelley kind of sort of doesn't really sponsor, where they look at us and they're like, well, maybe I could just smoke weed.
Sure.
What if I quit everything else and smoke weed?
Fine.
Then am I sober?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Are you?
I told her that wasn't my choice to make.
Find a sponsor who will sign off on it and you're good to go.
She asked if I could sponsor her but she still wanted to smoke weed. And I said, no.
Why?
And... because I ain't rolling that way. But then I told her, you know what? This is up to you. This is your life. It's not my job to determine whether or not this is a problem for you. You know?
Oh, I can, you know what? You know, you can't tell if someone else is an addict. That's bullshit. She's an addict. She's been smoking weed every day since I've known her, and she was 15 then, and she's 50 now.
That doesn't make her an addict. She's not an addict till she says she is. You don't get to decide.
Oh, sure I do.
Just said.
Sure I do.
No, but God over there decides that he's the one who gets to call the shots.
Oh, okay. How many times in the CA meeting when they said, you know, no one can decide for another whether he or she is addicted. Sure we can. Now, they may not be convinced of it, but I've seen lots of people that are addicts that don't want. You just said it a minute ago. What about the ones who don't admit it? Don't want to say they have a problem. It's like you see it all the time. You're able to determine that.
Semantics here. I may think that somebody, based on their behavior and the way they are living their lives, and that they're an addict.
And the multiple arrests and DUIs.
I don't decide that they are, and I certainly don't tell them they are.
They have bad luck. DUIs don't.
I tell people they are.
Well, yeah. Well, of course. Well, you know
when you're on your third DUI, I'm like, you know, you might have a problem going on there, buddy.
Well, the question was, how do you determine whether you are or not? And, you know, the defining question is this negatively affecting your life? Are you having a problem?
Well, that's...
Is it a problem for you?
What? How do you determine if you are?
How do you determine if you are?
Like, is it a phase or is it not a
Yeah, so are you just going through a phase?
Just going through a phase.
Yeah. I got so depressed I got loaded. Yeah.
Or a party phase.
No one at home is hearing that.
Yeah.
That's okay. We're having the discussion over here.
Okay.
So.
And your answer, Mark, is?
Time will tell.
That sounds more like final words.
Well, yeah, time will tell, but do you really want to go through all the crap that you're going to go through if you
Which
are
crap?
An addict?
Which crap? The,
the
crap of getting loaded, yes. Or the crap of being around the program?
That's true. Good question.
Crap of getting loaded. See, I don't know, because for me, if someone else could have determined that I was an alcoholic or an addict, I could have saved a lot of freaking time. I'd have a lot of time sober now.
They could have done your four-step for you.
They could have. You know, my parents never put
they
me
They did.
Anywhere. But, you know, they probably should have, or they could have. But for me, you know, it's kind of like those things where you go, man, I'm fortunate I figured it out when I figured it out, because I see people to this day going at charter. You know, a guy be 55, 60 years old, he's going to his first meetings, and he's been plowed or loaded for like 20, 30 years longer than he needed to be.
No, I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, yeah.
He was plowed and loaded for exactly as long as he needed to be.
Well, probably.
I think that if your activities are negatively affecting your life,
True.
If it is a problem for you, if what you're doing is taking you places with people, doing things
that
you don't
want
to be, that are harmful to you, then you've got a problem.
Agreed.
I think that's how you determine, is this not okay with me? Then, well, no, I don't really want to be here. Then you've got a problem.
Now, the big question is, does your sponsee think that she's been experimenting, or does she think she's an alcoholic addict?
Wait,
you should speak into the microphone.
Okay. Here we go.
Because no one will hear it.
I think I was lost and confused for
No,
a few
you got to hold it closer.
Closer.
To you.
Here we go. I was lost and confused for a few years, and a lot of experiences I had caused me to want to use to get rid of those feelings because I didn't know how to handle them. Now I'm clear-minded and have bigger things that I'm facing, and drugs and alcohol are just not something that's in my mind or I don't see in my plan anymore. I have a plan now. I don't feel lost. I feel clear-minded. So am I or am I not? And I'm just having things I'm going through now.
My.
Chili's going to have to raise the volume on that part.
Okay. Sorry. No, it's okay. I'm sure it'll be. Actually, I think it'll probably come through. My response to that would be, you're clear-minded
because
and you have a plan
sober.
And you're moving forward because we've been working the steps.
And you're sober.
And you're sober. Yes, your obsession has been lifted. Congratulations.
So, do you feel that your life is better as a result of the program or as a result of just moving out of a phase? And you got to lean forward to answer that.
Into the mic.
I think it was
there you go.
The program and finally feeling understood by people. And you know what?
Welcome home. It was the steps. Welcome home.
I'm so proud. I am so proud.
Welcome
I cannot
home.
Tell you.
Welcome back. Your dreams will you take it out. So, Shelley, what are your final words on what should we call it this time? Do I belong?
Wendy is so excited she's got to run to the bathroom.
Do
again.
I belong?
Do I belong?
Yes, okay. Oh, my final words?
Yeah.
You might belong, you might not. You'll either figure it out or die trying.
Ooh, kind of hardcore there. Mark will like that. Mark's like going, yeah, die trying, yeah. Mark, final words.
When I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, I had to find something else to do.
Good one. If you like what you're getting, keep
doing
what you're
doing.
If you don't like what you're getting, do something different. So, Mark, who's our friend back east?
Eddie Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription, and he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a sober living or recovery home or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce. He'll send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
Awesome. Shelley, people listen to the show.
Really?
9 million times.
That was just Fran hitting the button over and over and over again.
Possibly.
Anyway that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net.
Or?
Last30days.com.
Yes.
Yes.
Click on one of the shows. Click like or permalink. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. It helps us with our numbers. Thank you very much. If you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
You can listen to old shows. You can like old shows. You can leave comments. You can leave topic suggestions, please. You can put us on playlists for all your rock and party needs. And you can follow us, which will get you automatic updates of when we post the show.
Awesome. And if you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You can choose login with Facebook. It'll log you right in. They will not spam you. If you're also Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be anonymous on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 group. It's a closed group. You have to ask to join. If you ask, ye shall receive. If you spam, ye shall be booted.
Do we have shows up on there that are older than when I started doing the show?
No.
Oh, too bad. There are some people who'd probably like to know if there were.
Any shows with older hosts, we don't do anymore.
Yeah, for various reasons.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I still have them.
Oh.
I have every show ever done, all the way back to the very, 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 very first one.
We do have some shows up that were with guest hosts. You weren't here.
Yeah.
But
we're close. We're getting close to 700 shows up with, well, there's some that are just Shelley and I at the beginning, but not too many. Shelley and I and Roger, Shelley and I and Greg and stuff like that. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who is the lead out music by?
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
And find us on Facebook.
Don't do that, dude. Jeez.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There comes a point in everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but your world has changed. Colors don't shine like they used to. Stars don't shine like they used to. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. There comes a point in everybody's life. One.
everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be. And you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but the world has changed.